The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you will tell no one anything, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord. The kingdom of God is here. Amen. That's pretty good. I thought that might be too Protestant or it might be too early for some of you guys. But you said it with great conviction. And that's something that we need. And I just remind you that we are called to believe that the kingdom of God is not just far off. We're not just waiting for it, but it's already here. We have to believe that and we have to live it. And I often remind you guys, Jesus doesn't work some miracles because he's a good guy. Jesus doesn't work some miracles because he feels bad for a few people. Jesus works some miracles because he says the kingdom of God is at hand. And when John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and they say, "John wants to know, are you the Messiah? Are you the one who's going to set this world right? Or should we look for another?" And Jesus doesn't give a yes or no. He says, "Look around and then go tell John what you see. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute speak, the lame walk." The miracles are signs that God's King has come back to set right an upside down world. And he's not just waiting for the future. He's doing it now. And that's why he does these miracles. And that's how we are called to live as people of faith. Because God promises a new heaven, and it's coming. And he promises a new earth, but it's coming. But the message of Jesus is also, it's already here. It won't be fulfilled in our lifetime, but we should look around and see it. And we should be messengers of the kingdom, and we should be agents of salvation, helping God take his world back. And so today I want to hold up to you a few saints, and we're going to talk about some history because you have a place in it. Leprosy is not just an ancient phenomenon. It existed even up to modern times. Even in Hawaii, part of our country, there was an outbreak in the 1800s before Hawaii was part of the United States. And the king of Hawaii sent out a message that he needed people to minister to the lepers. One of them was Saint Damien of Molokai. Not the brightest man, not the most gifted man, but he wanted to follow God. And he entered religious life. And they had so many priests, so many religious in Europe, they sent him out as a missionary. So he's sent to Hawaii. And then suddenly when there's a leprosy outbreak and they decide the only thing they can do with these lepers, because they're unclean, because it's contagious, is to send them off to a deserted island to live and die alone. And while Damien is in Hawaii, he finishes his studies. He's ordained a priest at the same time this leper colony opens, and he volunteers to go, knowing that it will probably mean his death, because he will probably contract leprosy and die himself. But he says, "Send me, I will go." And he gets there, and there's no leadership, and these people are suffering. And Saint Damien, this priest, becomes in some ways the mayor, the governor, the schoolmaster, running a hospital. Not the most gifted man, but he's an agent of the kingdom because God did not stay far off from the lepers. And we cannot stay far off from the lepers. So he ministers to them. He's a father to them. And one day he goes to take a bath and he gets into the water and it is scalding hot and he cannot feel it because leprosy deadens your nerves. He can't feel it and his skin blisters. And in that moment, he knows that he himself has become a leper and that he will have to stay the rest of his life. But he'd already made that decision. He would not leave God's people suffering in Hawaii. He contracts leprosy, and he ultimately is dying from it. As he's dying, the king of Hawaii has made another call. This is 16 years later. There's so many lepers and so few to care for them. We need Catholic religious sisters to come. 50 religious orders say no. But there's one, some Franciscan sisters in New York who say yes. And one of them is St. Mary Ann Cope. She runs one of the first 50 general hospitals in the United States. Because education, health care, were taken care of not by the government, but by people of faith. And so St. Mary Ann Cope writes her mother superior and says, "Send me. I will go to Hawaii. I will take that risk for God and his people." And one of the first things she does is care for St. Damien of Molokai as he dies from leprosy. And she stays, and she ministers, and she doesn't get sick, but she lives her whole life there and dies with the lepers because God was never going to be far off from them. And a sign of the kingdom is that those who are sick and on the margins are not left alone, but they're seen by God and his people. And she went, and the mission continued past Damien's death, past Mary Ann Cope's death. The mission continues because the kingdom is unfolding. And we're given a great share in that. That's been the story of our faith. We have been people who have answered the call not to be good people, not to be respectable people, to go into the dangerous places, and in some ways to be dangerous people, because we say there is another way. There is more than this. And our faith and our actions in some ways should be disturbing. Because they push the boundaries of what other people looking in an earthly way see as possible. I'll hold out a couple more examples. Here in the state of Indiana, before the Civil War, there are reports of Catholic nuns walking down the streets in their habits and being stoned. Catholics were not wanted in the United States of America. It's a huge part of our history. Sisters walking down the street in our state, stoned. But when the Civil War breaks out, and when both the Union and Confederate armies need nurses, over 600 Catholic nuns from over 51 religious orders answer the call to serve as battlefield nurses in the face of great discrimination. In the Union Army, Dorothea Dix, the superintendent of nursing, actively discriminated against these sisters. She said, "How horrific must it be for these young soldiers to die having these strange creatures kneeling over them?" What do the soldiers report? There's one soldier reporting about a particular sister, and he's writing after the war, and he says, "Whether you wore blue or whether you wore gray at this battle, this particular sister was God's angel on the battlefield. And how many did she walk to heaven? How many did she give the courage to save hope that God would save them?" When General Ulysses Grant wanted to unveil a monument to Abraham Lincoln in Springfield, Illinois, he asked if Catholic nuns could do the unveiling in honor of their ministry as nurses during the war. In a country where they were being stoned before the war, the president is inviting them to unveil a monument to the great American martyr, Abraham Lincoln. They loved, even when they weren't wanted. They ministered without reservation. They persevered in the face of difficulty because that's what the kingdom of God looks like, and that's what Christian faith looks like. In the city of Memphis, in the 1870s, there were a series of yellow fever epidemics. And in the greatest one, people are dropping like flies. The rich leave the city. Half of the Protestant pastors leave the city. Catholics stayed. 60 Catholic sisters became nurses in the city of Memphis. 30 of them died because they refuse to leave. And they're dropping like flies as they're ministering to the sick. And they write back to their mother superior, "Mother, we're dying and we need more sisters because we cannot abandon Christ in the suffering in the city of Memphis, which is a new Jerusalem, because that's where God is suffering. And we will not abandon the cross. So send us more sisters." Mother superiors don't want to send their 20-year-old daughters off to an almost certain death, so they ask for volunteers. And you have Catholic sisters who are 20 years old, knowing that they will possibly die within 2 weeks of getting there. And they write, "Mother superior, send me. I will go be with Christ in the city of Memphis." And some of them are writing from their deathbeds, "Mother, greetings from all of the sisters from this hard-tried city of Memphis, both those suffering now and those who have gone to heaven. We, your daughters, apologize for any anxiety that we have caused you, but do not fear for us, because even in the midst of this affliction, we are at peace." 30 of the 60 sisters who ministered in Memphis die as martyrs of love. Of the 25 priests who stay to give last rites, bury the dead, and minister to the sick, of the 25, 13 die, including some who walked in to replace priests who had already died. Because that's what the kingdom of God looks like. We do heroic things, not because we are heroic, but because of the one who we loved, and because of our faith that the kingdom of God is at hand right now. In the state of Indiana, what does that look like even 100 years ago? 100 years ago, the Ku Klux Klan ran the state of Indiana, and they primarily hated Catholics and Jews in the state of Indiana. So what did they do? They passed bills that meant that you couldn't wear a Roman collar or a religious habit in a school, because we don't want Catholic priests or nuns teaching children. What do they do in the city of Kokomo? The only hospital is a Catholic hospital. That's an atrocity that white Protestants should have to be taken care of by Catholic immigrants. So the Ku Klux Klan tries to start a hospital. They look at Notre Dame, the pillar at the time of Catholic education. What do? They try to buy Valparaiso University to turn it into a Klan school as a model of what true Americanism looks like. It only falls through because they can't get the money. If you look at St. Alphonsus in Zionsville, that church was built outside of the city limits because they did not want a Catholic church in town. Brothers and sisters, our ancestors in the faith, including in this very state, did amazing things in the face of amazing adversity and discrimination and hostility. If they were merely good people, they wouldn't have persevered. If they didn't believe that the kingdom of God is at hand, they wouldn't be rushing to die. They would have fled from the foot of the cross. Brothers and sisters, we have a heroic faith because we have a heroic Savior. And the kingdom of God is not something we're waiting for at the end of our life. We're meant to make it present right now. And so if all of those heroic people could face all those things and do amazing things to which we are the successors of, what's holding us back? Most of us aren't going to face death. Maybe a little ridicule on social media. Maybe someone saying something rude to us. Maybe a little more inconvenience in our life. Hold that up against these martyrs of charity who believe that the kingdom of God was at hand. So I hold this up because we're not waiting. The kingdom of God is here, and you said amen. And it's your job to go out and make it present. Brothers and sisters, we start Lent on Wednesday, and the opening prayer is, as we begin our campaign of Christian service. It is a battle, because God has come to take his world back, and he's already won the battle. It's our job to help others experience the victory and join ourselves to it. So as we prepare, really think about that. What am I doing? Because it is good to give your money to the poor or to the church. But as the monk Thomas Merton said, it's not enough for me to give my goods to my brother. I have to give him my very self. The kingdom requires us to put ourselves on the line. And fortunately, I've never been asked at St. Louis de Montfort to be on a committee to put together a mission statement or a value statement. And I hope I never do in my time here, but I do have an unofficial motto which I approach this parish by, and it is simply this: St. Louis de Montfort, every parishioner a saint. That's the goal. And that might sound idealistic, that might sound far-fetched, that might sound impossible, but that's the standard of Jesus Christ himself. And it can be tempting to look around and be discouraged, to wonder why. But my question for you individually is, why not? Why not every parishioner a saint? Why not in your life? What's your answer? So brothers and sisters, as we begin this campaign of Christian service, this new Lent on Wednesday, really ask yourself, do you believe that we are called to experience the kingdom now? And if so, are you willing to put yourself on the line? Because we've had many heroic witnesses who have.